There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Top story this hour is Mars One. It's been a while since we've heard from the Mars One Foundation. They're organising the mission and training of candidate teams for Mars settlers. They've now released revenue projections for the foundation and its commercial arm, Mars One Ventures. The projections essentially support the financial feasibility of a private human mission to Mars. Baz Lansdorp has been on the programme a few times, on the phone from the Netherlands. He's the CEO and co-founder of Mars One. Baz, good to have you back on.
It's great to be back.
So let's start off, just briefly, talk us through the mission for anybody who's not aware of Mars One. The first step, of course, is to send robots to Mars in the next few years, not that many years away, and then humans by what, 2032, isn't it?
That is correct. 2032, we want to send the first teams to Mars. We'll prepare a habitable settlement with robotic missions before the humans go. And in a number of years, so 2022 is our first unmanned mission, which is a demo mission, then a rover, then all the hardware for the humans, and finally the humans in 2032. And I think the most important thing that we need to share with the listeners is that this is a mission of permanent settlement. So we, as opposed to other Mars missions, for example, by NASA, or the Russians have also considered missions to Mars, we are considering sending humans there and keeping them alive on the surface, sending additional crews every 2 years, instead of trying to bring them back, because that's the big challenge of Mars exploration, and I believe it's the reason that there's no humans on Mars yet.
So you are talking about a settlement. It's realistically funding the next giant leap for humanity. But what has made you release the financial projections? And just realistically, how feasible is it to send humans to Mars?
Well, we have we've listed on the Frankfurt Stock Exchange late year. And part of a listing is, of course, informing your shareholders about the things that you expect to do in the next couple of years. So that was one of the important reasons for releasing a financial statement. But also, we're doing a private placement round right now. And it's also important if you're trying to get new investors into your company to release financials. But finally, and maybe most importantly, there's a lot of questions about can Mars One do this from a financial point of view, from a technical point of view. There's all kinds of big challenges. Funding is definitely our top challenge in the near term. So showing why we believe that this is possible, I think, will really help to mitigate the questions about the first of those big challenges.
Showing it's possible is one thing, but making financial projections to back that up, I suppose, is different. I've seen figures as high as $6 billion for the first manned mission to Mars, something like close to $4 billion every couple of years or so after that. I get that you have to make the business case, Baz, but how do you go about making financial projections about something as far out as a human mission to Mars?
Yeah, so the good thing is that Mars One has been around now for more than 6 years. So I started Mars One in 2011. We released our website publicly in 2012. So we now have more than 5 years of revenue numbers. So since 2012, we've had a web shop. We've received donations. We've had astronaut applications from people who want to be one of the Mars settlers. And so we know that we've had 17 million visitors since then. We know how many made a donation, how many bought something in the web shop. We know what the average donation, what the average expense was in the web shop. So what we did in our projections is to take those same numbers, so one in a thousand or two in a thousand people make a donation now, and then making assumptions for how many people visit the website. Well, we know that in our best months, we've had about 1.4 million visitors to the website. But what if we've spent about 1.5 million to date. So what if we actually start making some good progress on the mission, hiring expert team members for the foundation, ex-Lockheed, ex-NASA, if we do all the contracts as compared to the three that we've done in the past 5 years, if we start the next round of astronauts applications, the next round of the selection process that we've already started, a new astronaut application process, if we can do all that in for example, 2-3 months, then we can make estimates of how many people will hear about that, how many of those will actually visit the website. And then we know, because of those old revenue numbers that we already have, we can make very accurate estimations of how much revenue that will actually generate for Mars One. And the surprising thing is that we can show with those historic numbers, only assuming, what I believe are very realistic website visitor numbers, we can show that both the foundation can finance from the revenues its progress, but also that the for-profit arm of Mars One will be profitable in the first quarter of 2019. So if things go as we project in the document that we've just released, the current fundraise that we're doing will be the only one that we need to do, and after that we will be self-funded, both the Mars One Foundation organizing mission and the commercial arm of Mars One. So that's really exciting. And what I like most about it is really that it's based on the historic evidence that we have.
So making a Mars settlement is an expensive business, but it sounds like lots and lots of revenue streams you've got going on. You've mentioned you've listed on the Frankfurt Stock Exchange. The Mars One Foundation organises the mission and the training of the teams and the settlers, but then your sister company, Mars One Ventures, owns the rights. So for a licence fee, you get revenue from lots of different streams, merchandise sales, you handle the applications, the adverts on the video content, broadcasting rights. There's lots and lots of ways, marketing-related sponsorship. So basically, it's a monetized gold mine, really.
Well, yes. And the great thing about Mars One is that the two entities that we have, they reinforce each other. So if the foundation is doing well, then, of course, that helps the commercial arm of Mars One, because it can it has more visitors to the website, can generate more revenues. But at the same time, the commercial arm of Mars One will be the storytelling part of Mars One. It is the if I can make a comparison to Star Wars and Disney, then the foundation is Star Wars, it's the story, and Disney is the company that needs to make sure that as much as possible is heard about it. So the commercial part of Mars One will make sure that this story is seen everywhere in the world. So we will be doing documentary series about astronaut selection, about the technology that we develop for the missions. And we will, when we work with a partner, for example, we've been in discussion with a car company that wanted to build our rover, with a watch company that wanted to make the Mars watch. Imagine all the storytelling that you can do around a car company building a Mars rover, with, of course, the help of aerospace companies, or a watch company designing a timepiece for Mars. Mars has a day that's slightly longer than Earth's days. It's about 40 minutes longer than the day on Earth. So what are you going to do with those 40 minutes? That's from a psychological point of view, a really interesting question where there's a lot of storytelling to be done. So they really reinforce each other, and that's what I like about the structure that we've currently set up.
It really could be the most valuable media content of all time. That probably is true. It will be a moment, as you say on your website, Baz, that will define the 21st century. You're hoping to go far further than that. There are some grand plans, some real dreams here. Uniting the world is one of them. But it doesn't take away from the fact that you have to do this as cheaply as you can, and one of the ways of doing that is by not bringing people back. It reduces costs drastically. We know that. You quote Buzz Aldrin, who said something like, the first human beings to land on Mars should not come back to Earth. He should know. He had to come back from the moon. But that means, and we've talked about this many times, it is a one-way mission.
Yes, but a lot of people forget that humans have taken one-way missions throughout the history of humankind. It's only since a couple of decades that you can take a plane to New York today and fly back the next day, and you've only been gone for 24 or 48 hours. But in the 60s or in the 50s, if you told someone you were going to New York, they would assume that you bought a one-way ticket and that you were actually migrating to New York. And that it's so easy to forget that with the unlimited transportation that we have nowadays. But humans have spread all over this world on one-way missions, big ones or small ones. And that's why we live everywhere now. And to me, Mars is simply the next continent. And of course, when humans go to a new location the first time, they're going there to stay because it's simply too difficult to come back. It's always been that way.
And the focus is completely on Mars at the minute. There's much being made of the need to go to Mars to explore. What do you think about the Emirates Mars plan? So that's 2020 and 2021.
Yeah, that's really exciting. And I think it's part of a worldwide explosion of interest in Mars exploration. And the probe that the Emirates are planning to send in 2020 is really exciting. Of course, for students there, for companies, it boosts the technology, the space technology knowledge in the Emirates, and the grand plan of actually having a city on Mars in the in 100 years. Well, that's even more exciting, and it shows that. That everywhere in the world there's more and more interest. And, well, to me it's no surprise that the Emirates have one of the biggest plans for it because, well, plans in the Emirates are always big, and I really appreciate that. That's one of the reasons why I like coming to Dubai because the sky is not the limit there.
Do you know, Baz, it'd be great to get you back in the studio when you do come back. I know you're a reasonably regular visitor here. We've got lots of questions to ask you. No time to put them forward, unfortunately. However, Baz Lansdorp, CEO, co-founder of Mars One in the Netherlands. Good to talk to you again. Thank you for coming on, Baz.
Thank you.
That's Baz Lansdorp. It's an amazing scheme. The revenue rejections are online. There's loads of information about Mars One online if you want to find
it's
out.
It's really interesting. I didn't realise just how far developed the whole plan was, to be honest.
It really is.
I was quite surprised looking at this, but it's really interesting. If you're into that kind of thing, do have a look because it is worth getting some of that detail on. It's really interesting.
That's right. It's 15 years until they hope they get the first settlers on Mars 2032.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.